Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to episode 10 of This Week in the Hawks. Today is Friday, the 24th of February, the day after the trade deadline. And to help me make sense of everything that happened, we have a guest. Hey, a guest. Wow. I want to welcome Bo Cherney. How you doing, man?
Doing great. And we have wonderful Hawks things to talk about after the trade deadline. So
surely do. Before we do, though,
always excited.
I've been dying to say this to you for ages. Bo in Irish is an Irish word for cow. I believe churning is something relating to milk. So if you ever needed a second life, you can make an excellent farmer over here.
My name already fits. That's wonderful.
It's perfect, right?
Yeah.
So, come around anytime. Oh boy, where do we start? The Hawks made some moves on trade deadline, which I was actually a little surprised by, because normally I honestly thought the Hawks would do nothing really. Yeah, they would make calls and do the standard stuff. I wasn't expecting to actually do stuff, but hey, they actually did stuff, and they got themselves ahead of the deadline, got the majority of their work done on Wednesday night. Oh boy. It's over. Thiago Splitter experiment era is over. Hawks trade Splitter, second round pick from Miami for Ilyasova, and there's a pick swap in there as well. It's the Warriors. I think Philly have a swap somewhere else with the Warriors and whatever. It's basically the Warriors second round pick, so it's going to be absolutely useless. So I can expect that to be bought for cash the draft. But were you excited?
Oh, so we have breaking news, I guess, if we want to go over that. The Hawks just announced they have suspended Dennis Schroeder for one game for failure to report on time after the All-Star break, which apparently I thought he was dealing with visa issues. I don't know how that happened. I just know he like tweeted out a picture yesterday of like his like new visa, and apparently was still in Germany at that point, but apparently missed practice yesterday, and it looks like they've suspended them a game for it.
Wow. I actually saw some of that on Twitter. You know, you tweeted a picture too, and wow, that's, I guess, because it's, yeah, I guess there's no really excuse as such why he's hanging around in Germany so close to, because these things can happen. Surprised they suspended for a game. Wow, we got to get starting Malcolm Delaney. Oh, yes, it's come true. I one of my preseason predictions was that Malcolm Delaney would start one game and it wouldn't be for a Dennis Schroeder injury. It's the next best thing, the next closest thing with suspension, but oh, yes, I'm excited. Not really, because we need everyone. But
it's a good thing we have a third point guard now. Oh, right. We don't.
No.
We still have... So
who's gosh.
Get Bimbri at point guard? Bays?
We're gonna see more Bays or Tim Hardaway Jr. maybe.
Oh gosh, that is not ideal.
That would be fun. Oh boy, who's that would be fun? Oh,
so who's the backup point guard now? I'm going to crowdsource this on Twitter since recording this. We can have live reactions to things.
Wow, that's still Jeannie Mack. That's good. Good. I like that. There's no shit taken here. They just do it. Gosh.
So he'll miss tonight's game against the Heat. So
at least it's at home. Could still maybe win. Oh boy. We'll get to that in a bit. Are you excited for Ilyasova coming over?
I think it's a solid move. I don't know if excited is the word for it. I wasn't exactly thrilled to hear that they'd given up 2 second-round picks, even if they're trash second-round picks. But they did dump Splitter for something, which he was expiring anyways. But Splitter wasn't playing at this point, apparently. He's been a fixture on the injury report for
years.
Over a year now, yeah, for the Hawks. He's been a fixture there, always, never updated. It was always fun. The rare times I've gone to games over the past 2 years, you know, there would always be someone asking if there's an update on Thiago. Nope, there never was. He was still hurting. So, Ilyasova can play. He can shoot. It's what the team needs. The backup power forward spot was atrocious with how Mike Scott had fallen off a cliff this year, and we can get to that, his trade later. But it's a fine move. He's a guy that will play minutes. He's a guy that can shoot. I think it makes the team better. So there's that. When I honestly didn't expect a trade at the deadline that I could be like, hey, this makes the team better. And there's at least that, even if it's not that exciting of a deal.
Yeah, it's funny looking at the injury report the Hawks tweeted out on Twitter before games, the day before or whatever. The fact there was none was really weird. Just like, wow, there's actually no one. Because usually it's like Splitter. Like it would always be at least Spiller there, and whoever else might be dealing with injury, Cephalosha or whatever.
And Tabo's probable with a myriad of injuries, but he'd be on there from time to time. And
see none so there was.
It's completely clear. Yeah,
it's not a joy while it lasts, because I'm sure.
I guess that's why they had to suspend Schroeder. They had to put somebody out.
Someone had to be inactive. So, I do agree that he makes the team better, because he'll actually play rather than Splitter and just not playing. Just looking at some of his numbers, it's a career high, 14.3 points per game this year. I know, obviously, being with Philly, that's kind of inflated a little bit. But now for the season, 35.5% from three is decent enough. Like, he's a legit stretch four.
And he'll be getting better looks, I figure.
Yeah, I saw this point where, like, Philly aren't exactly floor spacers, and he was able to knock down those shots at decent percentages, so it makes you wonder what is possible here off the bench. I'm interested to see. I'm excited to see some Dwight at five, Ilyasova at four, some shooting lineups around Dwight are a little bit more possible now, a little more legitimate shooting lineups around Dwight, and, like, you know, second unit kind of stuff, like Dunleavy and the such. So I'm interested to see how that two-man lineup might do Ilyasova and Dwight, and see how long, how many minutes they might get.
It'll also be interesting to see how often they go small ball now with Millsap at the five, Ilyasova at the four, considering, I mean, you could do the Millsap lineup with Muscala, but that's not really small ball. This will be more legitimate, like a small ball lineup, shooting a little bit faster pace. I want to see how often they go with that lineup now, since they actually have a capable and legitimate four that they can put there.
It'll be interesting because you basically just do what Mike Scott did last year, in a sense. It's because the Hawks have kind of been looking for that really since Scott hasn't really
complete trash.
Several
trash emojis since he is the man of all of the emojis.
Emoji man. Oh, I'm gonna miss Emoji man.
But
my favorite name.
I know he hasn't. Mike hadn't played a lot this year, but just like looking at his numbers, just the way the drop from last year, where he was like a legitimately good NBA bench player, where he was shooting. I think he shot 39% from three last year. He was like a legitimate.
He was up there, yeah.
Weapon off the bench.
He's also a better defender
now.
Year as well, like, you look at the numbers,
he did improve defensively, which was a shocker, because the previous 3 years he'd been a dumpster fire on defense. But he started to, it seemed like things were starting to click last year, and then there was a whole deal where with the arrest, and I still have no idea where his court case is on that, but things just completely fell apart from him, and now he's being traded for what was that, like a second round pick and the rights to sink Oikle, or
no, I think it's just whoever just got the pick. I think it's heavily protected, so it's 31-55 protected. They just gave him away, essentially.
Yeah, and cash considerations are on there from some side. Hold on,
the Hawks side, that Hawks gave some cash.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because I think the original report that was Phoenix giving cash, but I think it was the Hawks.
I think the Hawks
eventually
in the end.
So that's how bad Mike Scott had fallen. The Hawks literally had to pay somebody
to take him away.
Legitimate money to take him away.
Minimum, I think, is $75,000, which is a lot of flipping money.
which I think Phoenix needed to get to the salary floor anyways.
So. Yeah, it was like $3.3 million for Scott there.
Yeah, so it's just like, geez, this is ridiculous how far he's fallen. But the Hawks have Ilyasova now, and he will be in the rotation, whereas Mike Scott just wasn't in the rotation at all anymore. So they picked up a rotational player. And they had to give away some picks that are sort of protected and in weird spots anyway in the second round to get them. So, yeah.
Favorite Tiago Splitter moment?
Gosh. I'm trying to think of any time I can even remember him
playing. I know, right?
Like, I know he played with the Hawks. I remember seeing him in a Hawks uniform out on the floor doing his little nifty finesse layups around the basket. But that's all I can think of. I can't think of a singular Tiago Splitter moment with the Hawks.
No. Other than the most points he ever scored in the game was 11 against the Pistons in late 2015. 11 points was his, I think 3 assists was his Hawks high, and I think 7 rebounds was also a Hawks high. I don't think he ever played more than 25 minutes in the game. So,
how many games did he play? Like 30?
36 was the regular season.
Gosh. He played. Oof, that is not ideal. And hopefully he gets well, because he's a decent player when he's healthy and can contribute to an NBA team. But yeah, the Hawks made the smart move by moving on from him.
Yeah, it was a weird situation because he was ruled out in November, was from 6 to 8 weeks with that calf strain. And I remember he hopped on the broadcast. I don't know what game it was, but he said it was in January. He said he was days away, and then nothing ever happened. So it was really weird.
And the thing was when it was announced his like calf injury in November that it'd be 6 to 8 weeks. He had just come off an injury in preseason, so he had just literally gotten back or was about to be back and then suffered another injury. And then 6 to 8 weeks turned into, I guess, what is now has to be 10 or 12 since that injury was announced.
Mm.
And, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't
– it was strange last – I think it was a few weeks – I think a week or two – I think last week. Or the week before last, Bud was kind of asked on Splitter, and he said, "Well, I wouldn't necessarily say anything close to returning." He's like, "Well, what is that? What is that supposed to mean?" Like, we're way past the 6 to 8 weeks timeline, and it's to say that he's not, you wouldn't say he's close to returning. So I wonder if there is another aggravation of an injury there, but it's interesting.
He's He's like Schrodinger's NBA player. You don't know if he's ready until you open the box, and the Hawks just refused to open the box, and so they traded him. That is the best explanation I can come up with for his career with the Atlanta Hawks.
He looked really awkward in the Hawks jersey as well. That the white, it just looked like, I know these new jerseys are hip, I suppose, but it just really, the white one really looked awkward on Splitter. He just doesn't look right in it. It's weird.
Yeah, it didn't fit him, and it probably didn't help. We rarely saw him in it, so we could never get like used to seeing him in it to begin with.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there's always, you know, some guys just like, oh, he doesn't look right in this uniform, and it doesn't look right on him. And then once you just get used to it, you don't think about it anymore. It's just like, oh, that's him in that jersey, and it makes sense. Probably didn't help that Tiago just like, he's not playing, so we never see him in the uniform. So when the times that we do, it's awkward that it doesn't fit him, and we always notice it because it's like, holy crap, he's actually in a uniform. Like,
even in like the in-arena promotions and videos and that kind of thing, just seeing him in a uniform is weird. but it does look like I'm looking at Keith Pompey, who covers the Sixers. He's saying earlier today that the Sixers will help the injured Splitter rehab this season, but isn't in their long-term plan. So it sounds like they're going to keep him. I also read somewhere they're interested in kind of him mentoring a few of the bigs. Which is interesting because looks like Bogut isn't going to stay there. They say he's out for will be with the team for at least a week, or AKA never. But as he's bought, I'm sure he'll be bought out. But yeah, interesting to see that Splitter will be. I feel bad for the guy because I found it harder and harder to dislike him because it's, you know, when someone doesn't play, I think the fan base, you know, they start to turn on a little bit, obviously because he didn't play. But every time he hopped on the broadcast, he's such a likable guy when you listen to him. It felt bad for him, this whole situation. It never really worked out.
And it's really sad, too, because he's really a good player when he's healthy. Obviously, I don't even know where – we don't even know if he's actually still good with – since he's been out so often with injuries the past two seasons. But when he played, he was a solid player. He knew the defensive scheme. He didn't light it up on offense, but he knew where to be on offense. He was a good screener and everything. So I think that's the most disappointing thing is that, especially last season, so many of the Hawks' problems last season would have been solved if Splitter had just been healthy the whole season. Because there was a lot of problem with big depth as the season went on. Muscala wasn't playing well last season. There was a lot of talk last season. It's like, should they bring Muscala back or should they get rid of him? And then he comes back this season and starts lighting it up. So that was a revelation in itself. But seeing just, man, Thiago could have been
something.
Yeah, it could have been something.
Go on. I was just going to say, quickly on Muscala. I was amazed. When the Hawks signed Jarrett Jack, I thought that was it for Muscala. I thought that he was, if Jack proved that he was at least somewhat healthy, that he would get that spot ahead of the Splitter. But Splitter has, Splitter for sake, Muscala. Did I say Muscala? Muscala. I thought Jack would get that spot ahead of that last roster spot ahead of Muscala. But I suppose Jack is only healthy now, and he's just signed a 10-day there with the Pelicans. So it kind of just gives you, it just kind of shows how far away he wasn't as such when he was with the Hawks in training
camp. He was coming off an ACL injury, if I remember correctly. Mm. And those are obviously tricky to recover from.
He did both in the same motion, which is But anyway, he's back anyways, and it's good to see him back on the floor. And let's move on to this, the most Splitter talk that ever happened since Splitter has ever been signed.
We talked more about Thiago Splitter than he actually played minutes-wise.
Yeah. Nice. Let's move on to the other trade. The only trade the Hawks ended up making on the deadline was, we mentioned Mike Scott. The draft rights to and cash for a heavily protected second-round pick, so 31 to 30 to 55. A nothing pick, essentially. Money would probably be got out of it. It looks like it's going to be waived, him and Jared Sullinger, who arrived with from the Raptors in the PJ Tucker trade. Looks like they'll both be waived. So, interested to see where Scott ends up. I think someone will take a flyer on him. Like, he was good a season ago. Like, it's...
He was a legitimate shooter off the bench, and it's amazing that he was shooting near 40% from three, which is, you know, lethal for a four option, and he was playing better on defense, which had been his major Achilles heel in the NBA so far. So it's amazing just the way, especially comparing him and Muscala, just almost seemed like how they almost like switched talent, or they didn't switch talents, but they switched usefulness, I guess.
Essentially, yeah, because because there was no question what big you'd bring off the bench last year. You'd bring off Scott a million days before you'd bring Muscala, and then it was like the opposite this season.
Yeah, and Muscala's been transformed into that legitimate, like, good bench player now, and it's Mike Scott is, once again, several trash emojis this season. It's just awful.
I'm interested to see where he'll end up. I think some team will take a flyer on him. Maybe he's too old to go for the Nets, but maybe Kenny Atkinson will like some familiarity. But we'll have to see. I'm hoping he'll sign, regardless of if it's a playoff team he signs with or not. I'm hoping he ends up somewhere. I think he will. I think someone will take that chance on him.
Yeah, I think he's at least. I think someone will try to give him a 10-day. There's several teams that are just going to be looking for, you know, players to try out essentially while they can get a chance on them. It's not as much as looking for future assets. It's just trying to find anybody that may be able to contribute in the future. So I think he'll get something somewhere of him in the NBA. That seems like if he just goes from being what he was last season to being out of the NBA completely after this, that would be extremely shocking. Also, an update on my Twitter question asking who's going to be the backup point guard. It seems like we're in Lamar Patterson range here, which is not ideal. That is just dreadful.
But we'll get to that a little later. I'm actually a little higher on Patterson than most, but we'll get to that a little bit later. I guess the one thing that did shock everyone yesterday was Mark Stein reported afterwards the Hawks were pretty aggressive package together to try and lure Jimmy Butler or Paul George to Atlanta. Just looking at Mark Stein, but the supposed deal excluded core players. And when asked if it was three first round picks or if it was like three first round picks, the source said more. So very kind of Brooklyn-esque kind of deal the Hawks tried to float out there. It didn't work. Is it encouraging that they actually they're trying to make moves, or is this just your standard? It's just your standard trade deadline stories. Like everyone tries to fail.
I think it's interesting because we usually don't see the Hawks in these situations. Those making a legitimate aggressive run at a player that they are probably sure won't re-sign. It's like we've seen from the past deadlines with first Danny Ferry and then under Wes Wilcox and Budenholzer now. It's like the Hawks usually don't do much at the deadline. They'll make some moves, but they're usually not major players as we've seen in the past few deadlines. It's like, so seeing them reportedly make an aggressive trade offer for Paul George or Jimmy Butler, it's interesting because that seems like what we heard beforehand is like they were going to try to be buyers at the deadline. So it looks like they were taking this seriously because I was thinking the Hawks are going to be buyers and then they're going to end up with like Shelvin Mack back somehow and that was going to be their idea of buying something. It's like they went after these guys and were reportedly willing to offer three or more picks to do so, which they don't have any other assets besides picks. It's definitely not an Atlanta move as we've seen in the past, but it didn't work. So I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it's an interesting thing to see at least of how maybe the organization might be changing a little bit, maybe more aggressive in the future. So that'll be something to keep an eye on.
It was quite out of character, and it kind of makes me wonder if it was. Again, I bring it back to, I think, maybe an ownership move. Maybe just trying to encourage Bud and Wes to kind of lure some sort of big name and try and get them in the trade. Because, again, I always gotta bring it back to tickets, don't I? I do think
No,
go on.
That's a good point, I think. I think that's a good point because we're obviously hearing the things about how the Hawks are going to be aggressive and attempting to keep Paul Millsap for a long deal after this season because his contract's up. And I think that could definitely be an ownership influenced move. Not only are we seeing, you wrote extensively about the ticket sale stuff and increasing prices, but they're doing the renovation. They're doing a huge marketing push for the Hawks right now in the city, trying to reach out, get new people in, try to increase interest in the team organically through marketing and everything. So I'm thinking there is a lot of push from ownership for this team to continue to be a playoff team and relevant in the future. Yeah. Because they don't want to start all this marketing push and renovations and then after this year lose Paul Millsap and then what, do you tank after that? Because you're not going to be very good without Paul Millsap next year, if that's the case. So I definitely believe there definitely could be a huge ownership influence, both with this potential attempt at trades and with, looking forward to free agency with potentially keeping Paul Millsap on a deal that'll probably be way too expensive for the Hawks, but they might do it anyways.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll end up being like a Joe Johnson kind of thing where I get to year three, four, five, and you might want to see if you can move that. I know Paul would be at that stage older than Johnson, but I think it's interesting because... Oh, sorry, go on.
I can't imagine what Paul Millsap's going to do with $200 million, whatever that contract's going to be, $180, $150, whatever that ends up being, because Paul Millsap doesn't seem like a very flashy guy out there. That's like Paul Millsap's very much his on-court personality definitely matches his off-court personality. And he's, so I'm just interested to see what kind of plans Paul Millsap has for that contract, because he's definitely not the Dennis Schroeder type who's going to go buy a gold Audi or whatever his gold car is. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little flashy, Dennis. Yeah, it's interesting. I guess people are like people who want Joel Embiid in the All-Star game, you know, look at Millsap and, you know, Paul's not really I wouldn't say like a talky guy, but just, you know, he's about his business.
He's not a very excited individual.
Right. He's very focused and he's a great professional, but yeah, you wouldn't describe it as eccentric or anything like that. So I'd imagine that money will just go into a very nice little bond or savings. You just imagine.
Paul will just take all the cash and emerge back into the Louisiana swaps for the summer and then reemerge when practice starts again.
So I'm interested to see what they do. It makes me wonder if this aggressive push from ownership is actually a thing. What might happen in free agency? If they might look to try and, I don't know if they want to look and try and move that Bazemore deal, or because the cap space is not looking great. And you got to sign, gosh, what kind of uproar would be if you let Tim Hardaway Jr. go at this point?
That'll be a fun one, because he is
getting money.
I see Hardaway is getting a lot of money at this point, and that might, and this is sort of the you know, the pros and cons of the Hawks being, you know, these quote-unquote Hawks University, where they're sort of rehab, you know, sort of forgotten wing players. You know, first it was Damari Carroll, then it was Bazemore, you know, it was a little bit Seth Alosha after sort of being cast off by the Thunder, and now it's Tim Hardaway. It's like, you know, you couldn't afford Carroll eventually. You really couldn't afford Bazemore, but you gave him his money anyways.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be running into the same problem with Hardaway, is you rehabbed him from, you know, what wasn't an exciting experience in New York. And, you know, a lot of people were upset that they'd given up a first-round pick for him, but now he's a legitimate player. He's going to get a lot of money, and the Hawks might be more wise to let him walk. But I mean, we could see, like, if there is that ownership push just to stay a playoff team for the next year or two, they could just give it to them or something. So, well, that'll be a fun situation.
Would you rather Bazemore or Hardaway long term?
I plead the fifth. I don't. In a vacuum, I think Bazemore, because he's had a down year this year offensively, but still the intensity he brings on defense. He may not be a great individual defender, but I think his intensity and his ability to recover helps the team defense a lot, and that's something I value. But Hardaway's proven to be improving quickly, and I think he's what, like, 2 or 3 years younger than Bazemore, so that's a difficult question. I think I lean Bazemore, but I'm not sure, and that's a tribute to how much Hardaway has improved this year, because, you know, last year or before now, I would have just laughed that question off. It's like, oh, give me Bazemore. Like, even before Bazemore came to the Hawks, where he had that good stint with the Lakers, I would have been like, oh yeah, give me Bazemore over Hardaway. It's like, no question. But now it's a huge question. So,
yeah, it's amazing how kind of far this has come in the year. Like, people wonder, well, you might have a few diehards who might care if Hardaway goes and the writers and the such, but the general fan wouldn't have cared less if Hardaway was let go. But now this year, there would be an uproar if he was traded for the reported second round pick that was rumored a little bit last month. But,
oh no, it could be the casual fans could be upset, because if they tune in and they see Hardaway scoring, they could be the people that are like, wait, why are we trading this guy that's actually good? He scores all the time. Like, you know, so yeah, there could be some interesting backlash, both if the Hawks do sign him to a big deal or if they just let him walk. There's going to be backlash from someone, and it's not going to be fun to look at. Or it could be fun to look at if you're cynical like that.
He's won a few games this year that Hawks have had, like, he's won the Hawks a few games that they've had no right winning. Like, I'm thinking of that Houston game, for example. Like, the Hawks had no right to win that game. down 20 in the fourth, and he just
none at all.
Absolutely none. That's why you can argue. Like, there's been a few games like that this year, obviously against the Spurs, where he ties the game and helps them in the overtime. Did they have any business winning that game either? Like, it's, I know Mills had a great game that one, but there's just a few games like that. But let's just come back to Bazemore right quick. I don't want to. I'm trying to make sense of it, because you draft. I thought the whole thought process of drafting two wings was that you anticipate Bazemore leaving, because you know he was the guy. He was always the guy that looked, even before. I know obviously Horford was the one that left in the end, but he was the guy that you thought, okay, he could be the one that might leave, just purely based on this money that's been thrown around. So it really makes sense to me to keep him and the two wing rookies. So I wonder if he might be moved, because this team is kind of almost staying the same, if not getting worse this summer, with how their cap is, how their cap space is, and obviously Sefolosha is a free agent as well. You don't want to really lose him.
And how the cap space will be after they probably give Millsap an enormous extension.
We have a massive, he had a very decent cap hold anyway, even before that. So I'll be interested to see that. Mm-hmm. Where are we now? So obviously with the Hawks trading Splitter and Mike Scott going out as well, we just had Lamar Patterson's 10-day expire before the deadline. Hawks had two open roster spots, and I was excited because I believed that. I believed that. What was that? I'm throwing off noises. I believe that.
Sorry, go on. There were with those two open roster spots, the fan base was a little bit excited. It's like, ooh, we could play in the buyout market now. And there's some decent players out there. Like, we know there generally wasn't a shot to get Deron Williams, even though some people thought, oh, they should go get Deron Williams to keep him away from Cleveland. And it's like, well, he wants to go to Cleveland. He's not just going to come here.
Like, having a choice.
But, you know, there was guys like, you know, Bogut could be interesting. Terrence Jones, even. There's going to be other names on the buyout market. People are like, ooh, there could be something, you know, and we got rid of Mike Scott. And we're down to 13 players. That means something. You know, we have room now. And then you signed Ryan Kelly and Lamar Patterson to multi-year deals. They have options, but you still signed Ryan Kelly and Lamar Patterson. And it's just like, even if the buyout options weren't realistic at all, it's just looking at those options.
These play the market. I mean, those guys will be available in 4 or 5 days when all the buyout is kind of cool down. I obviously thought, I know that Bogut isn't really an option, because I find it hard to imagine any universe where he doesn't end up with the Cavaliers, even though there's this weird CBA thing where he could actually go back to Golden State if he wanted to, and that would be weird. But interesting wrinkle with Deron Williams is that the Jazz can claim him off waivers. They have the cap space to claim him off waivers, so that would be just a real Cleveland over. So that would, I'd enjoy that.
That would be hilarious, considering obviously his past in Utah as well.
Yeah,
that would be wonderfully hilarious.
So I'm interested. I was so disappointed. I really like Lamar Patterson. I'm happy that he's signed through the rest of the season, but I'm disappointed the Hawks didn't really wait and play the market a little bit. I'm just more upset that Terrence Jones isn't coming.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you said too. Obviously, if they knew the Schroeder situation and they knew they were going to need a body, you could have given Lamar Patterson a 10-day, like, but whatever. It's like you get and traded for Ilyasova, and now you're going to sign Ryan Kelly to a deal. Like,
both guys are probably just going to be the two inactives from here on out. You know, barring the
right. I would have rather had the empty roster spot than Ryan Kelly. At least it could get interesting. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen over the next week or two. Like you said, play the market. He would have been there in
5, 6, 7 days. So I was disappointed at that. But look, I guess this means one of the rookies won't be inactive every night. More minutes, maybe.
That's a good, that is a good point. The rookies seem to be they might not play a lot every night, but as we've seen from the past couple of weeks, they're getting a little bit more playing time. And this looks to be like they're going to continue to be parts of the rotation going forward. Whether that remains in the playoffs or not, it's yet to be seen. But at least it seems like they're solidly going to get playing time every game, which is really what they need at this point.
Hopefully. Oh, yeah. How are you going to develop if you can't play? So I'm sure they'll be helped next year with the Hawks' D-League and taking over the Erie BayHawks for a little bit while arena.
And right, that'll definitely help.
That will help. Just having that control, just have their own coaches and that kind of thing. So that'll be cool. Just very quickly, what are your kind of expectations for this team going forward? There's 26 games left, starting tonight with Miami. How do you
think they'll play out? Yeah, not much different from the way the season's played out so far. Still expect generally good defense every night. Obviously, they'll have some off nights just based on who they're playing, but and they'll win games whether or not their shooting shows up. As we've seen so far, the offense has been atrocious for most of the year. It's not great.
No.
so they'll win or lose games will be based on whether or not someone's scoring, or you know, if someone, you know, we've seen Hardaway win us games. If that happens, you know, someone goes off, is able to save the day, or if just the whole team's consistent. I still think they can be better on offense. I think Ilyasova might help a little bit. But generally, I expect more of the same. They'll be a slightly above average team overall. They'll probably win half of those. If they go 13-13 on the way out, that wouldn't shock me, and that would put them at 45 wins for the season, which was about where
Vegas number. Vegas had 43, I think.
Yeah, I was about to say 40. You know, 45 was where a lot of pundits had them preseason in that area. So yeah, they'd be right where we expect them to be, probably around fourth or fifth.
Yeah,
on their way to a probable first round playoff exit.
Oh gosh, yeah, I imagine they'll kind of remain. I wouldn't be too upset if they went 13-13 from here on out. I know they've got 10 league up. I know before last night's games they had the second easiest schedule, and that includes playing Cleveland three times. And the Spurs and the Warriors. They have a killer march coming up, but there's some. They play the Brooklyn. I think they play the Nets three times at least. So is that even out? We'll have to see.
Hopefully, get your three wins against the Nets. That'll help offset things a little bit. And hey, who knows? Maybe you can start to get on a roll offensively a little bit. Who knows?
I think they can play a lot better, but I just think with the Raptors kind of adding very, very well. Oh, they had the great trade season. And the Wizards kind of getting, on paper at least, getting better. I just don't think the Hawks kind of match that. But so I ultimately expect a 5 seed in the end. But I think this team could play a lot better.
Yeah, they can play a lot better. It's just whether it actually happens or not.
They talk about
is
it.
Is yet to be seen.
I'll find out.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we'll have the great Malcolm Delaney coming out party tonight. And he will just kick ass for the rest of the season, and it will be fantastic. Who knows?
Yes. Speaking of which, the Hawks have three games this week, kicking off today against Miami, then off to Orlando tomorrow. I'm buying the trap game there. Games don't come easy at this point. I'm worried for a trap game there, but we'll have to see. Big one I'm looking
which
at.
Which one being the trap game?
Ash Orlando on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I could see them. Losing that, they've had problems at Orlando in the past. It's going to be Dwight in Orlando, and the fans will probably be hyped up for that one
a little bit.
So it could definitely prove to be weird. And it could be one of those games where, you know, Dwight goes really hard and tries really hard and everything. And, you know, generally you think that, oh, that's good. He'll try hard. But that could also backfire, and he could just try hard and really suck at trying hard. So
the big one I'm looking at
go ahead.
On Monday is in Boston. Very quickly, I just want the Hawks to play it close. I don't really care if they win or lose, because you know you probably expect the Celtics win, but they've just been blown out by teams that are like the Wizards and the such, like the better teams. I just want to see just put up a good fight here.
Yeah, it's weird how that's changed, because earlier in the season when they were struggling, the Hawks were. It was. Well, they're struggling now, but they played so well against, you know, they'd beaten like Cleveland and I think the Spurs and the Rockets, and everybody's like, oh yeah, but they're struggling now, but they played really well against the good teams. Now it's kind of flipped. Now they're just getting blown out by like 20 by the good team, like the great teams, and it's been a complete mess. But they've held steady, beating the teams they should beat, so to speak. So.
So I have a lot of interest in that game. I just want them to keep it close. And then last, they play on Wednesday against Dallas. Before then, Friday, they play Wednesday at home at Dallas, kicking off a 6-game homestand that they really need to do, because the Hawks have been great at home. So they just need to – the 6-game homestand is very – I know they play some very good teams, like Golden State, Pacers, Cleveland are in there. They need to do well in this homestand. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Just going to get out of here then. We're done. Whatever you want. plug away, man. Just plug everything you need to plug. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can always find the Hawk stuff that we have at hawkshoop.com. They have Graham here, Eric, and Avery doing great things there still. You can find me personally on Twitter at Bo Cherney, and you can find anything I'm writing at fanbuzz.com.
Awesome stuff. Well, Bo, thanks very much for taking the time to hang out today. I appreciate it. And until next time, have fun. Take it easy. Peace.